America. So there's no book here, so I guess they expect us to speak something connected about that. So the Acharya, he comes to a set example. Manu mentions the different aspects of authority, how to establish what is proper action. First then is the Veda. So anything that doesn't go back to the Veda basically is not important. It's that simple. Then the scriptures that are spoken by those ancients who followed the Veda, who studied the Veda, practiced the Veda in their life. So this is called Smriti. So basically, other than the four Vedas, all other literatures are Smriti. Then you have those in, you know, what we would consider more recent times, those who would be connected with us, that their lifestyle is what we're taking as example. So this is our Acharyas. And they establish what to do, because the situation that they're in is more close to the environment that we'll be in. So these three aspects taken together, this is authority, this is Shabda. And based on that, then we try to establish these practices in our life. Because the Veda is very broad, has so much information. So how to establish that for ourselves, that's important. That's what we'd be seeing. So, now, why would this be important? Why example? What's the importance? Example is important as we are in an environment that, unfortunately, is foreign. On one level it's foreign, on one level it's not. What we perceive, that's foreign. What we don't perceive, that's what's not. The material manifestation created by the Lord is here for the purpose of establishing a situation in which the living entity can again come back to Krishna. There's no other purpose. Living entity may find purpose, means living entity takes the material world as an opportunity to create adjustments in a stay in the material environment, so that his environment, so he is more satisfied, more happy. But unfortunately, that happiness is never actually obtained because of the temporariness of the manifestation. So this brings us to the importance of the Acharya, in that he sets example through manifestation. But that manifestation is to apply a teaching. So the teaching is what's actually important, and then forms that would be useful for the living entity, and how to apply that teaching are then given. That's why they're called Acharya. They set example. So this situations and how they respond in those situations then become significant. Unfortunately, because of being in the material environment, the living entity tends to think other things significant, because the temporary manifestation we have a tendency to take as very important, having great substance. So our particular variety of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, being performed in an environment of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, then whatever is creating or generating an emotional experience, especially a shared emotional experience, then we'll consider that important. But unfortunately, that aspect of the manifestation is always temporary. The eternal aspect of the Lord having created the material environment, and that the Lord has entered into everything, and that the Lord is the interactive aspect of whatever it is that we are interested in, that's the part that's eternal, and that's the part that is unseen or unappreciated. All situations in the material world are simply an opportunity for the living entity to interact with the Supreme Lord. And this is not esoteric. This is bluntly direct. But unfortunately, because the senses are dulled by material association, we associate with dead matter, we become like dead matter, unaware, unconscious. So we're unconscious of how the living entity is actually interacting with God, not with the dead matter. The dead matter is there, it's a form, but dead matter does not generate any experience. It's dead, you can't do that. Right? Your table doesn't do anything. It sits there. We apply upon that table our value system. And so we say, it's a nice table, it's an attractive table, it's an expensive table, oh, it's an antique table, oh, it's a very practical table. All these different things we apply on the table. It's just something that sits there. Come back after some time and it'll have fallen apart. So we apply on it the qualities of importance. And then we get all excited about it. And we're unfortunately foolish that we think it's the table that's doing all this. But it's not. The table is a form through which those qualities can manifest. So that means that the material manifestation actually has absolutely no value other than the qualities that you can experience through interaction with it. That's it. It has no other value. Now, in that experience, you can either understand that that experience is coming from God, not from the dead matter, and be in transcendence, or be in illusion and think, no, the dead matter itself, the table itself is generating its beauty, or generating its importance. But it doesn't matter, right? The rat will chew on a tomato and will chew on your Louis Vuitton bag. It doesn't care. To the rat, it's something to chew on. We put the importance. So this is then where we see the significance comes in of the Acharya and the Vedas, is that what's going on in the material world never changes. It's exactly the same from one moment to the next, from one creation to the next. Nothing changes. It's still the soul, dead matter and God. There's nothing else. And so the relationship of the soul with God doesn't change. Dead matter and its nature doesn't change. The soul doesn't change. All that changes are the various manifestations that the material energy creates according to our particular desire. But the importance of it doesn't change. It's only important if it's connected to God, and if it's not connected to God, it doesn't have any significance. So when we, out of our illusion, create significance in the material energy, its importance, its necessity, its urgency, that's just illusion. That's us. Dead matter, it doesn't change. Right? It just sits there. Right? The Colosseum, it's still sitting there. At one time it generated so much significance and an opportunity for experience. And then, now it's still sitting there. And now it generates a different experience. Right? But it's simply a medium. It doesn't change. The point is that material energy does not change. It is a total illusion that we think it does. We think its importance changes. This is why there's the significance of the Vedic literatures and the Acharya. Because if it was so that material energy changes, then every moment would be different, and whatever instruction was there from the past, whatever example was there from the past, wouldn't apply, even if it was 5 minutes ago. Point is that material energy is changing and it's significant, then anything you knew from the past has no meaning now because it's different. But we're able to take experience and apply it today, it still works. Right? The concept of the stock market was created by the Romans. And one of the major ways that people observe the stock market and decide which way it's going to move is from something from the 16th century created by the Japanese in their rice market. Right? This candlesticks. It's from the Japanese rice market. It works. Apartment buildings were created by the Romans. Schools, you know, in the Western world, created by the Greeks. You know? What about husband and wife, children? We breathe air, we drink water, we eat food. How far back does that go? So this is the point. Nothing changes. It's always exactly the same. There's always God, the material energy, and the living entity. Nothing changes. The opportunity to serve God at any moment is still there. It doesn't change. We have to remember when we use the excuse, oh, it's Kali Yuga, we can't apply Krishna consciousness. Who created Kali Yuga? I mean, there are those who encourage Kali Yuga, of course, but who created it? That's God. So it functions according to His rules, not according to the foolish modern materialists. So this idea that the significance of the scriptures and of the Acharya changes and has no significance now. Oh, that was back in the 60s. Prabhupada, of course, could do that, but now you can't do that. That is for fools. And if you really want to get technical, that is for atheists. An atheist just means he does not connect something to God. Atheist. It's not theistic. But everything is theistic. It's all God. When Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, I am everything, He means it. He's not just being poetic here. He means it. So that means then what is written in the scripture, what Krishna does, what the Acharyas do, They're as significant at this moment in time as they were before, 500 years ago, 5,000 years ago, and they'll still be significant in the future. There is no change. The Vedic concept is you have to take that and apply that to the situation. The situation is in the present. So that means if you're dealing with the present, you have to understand what is the present, what is so significant, what is its time, what is its place, right? What is the mood? And according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, decide therefore what you're going to do. That's time, place, and circumstance. So applying the teachings of the scripture, of the acharyas, into the present moment, that's Vedic. Right? That's what works. Modern means you talk about the past or the future. You're not in the present. So actually, even though they talk time, place, and circumstance, they're not applying it. Because this time is created by God. The place is created by God. The circumstance is created by God. And if we understand this, then at every moment we can be God conscious. So what Prabhupada did and what he showed will always be useful. It's a contemporary environment. And it goes on for a long time. Prabhupada said his teachings would be happening for 10,000 years. So that's the window. That's when the mood will be basically the same. So it's not that, oh, it doesn't apply. That's for opportunists, materialists, fools, the misinformed. Because God doesn't go away. If it's significant to you in your life, the significance is God. So now, how Prabhupada deals with those environments that are akin to our lifestyle, our environment, that's what becomes useful. It doesn't change. Prabhupada's determination to follow the order of his guru, it doesn't change. It's not that determination doesn't work now. No, it works. Determination is there. Why? Because that's the quality of God. And it can be applied. If God's eternal, that means his qualities are always present. And that means at any time you can interact with them. They don't go away. So his determination that he's given the order, and he tries to prepare, he tries to make it happen. But, as you were saying, time, place, and circumstance, you deal with the present situation. And so the situation of him as a young householder, how he can dedicate his time to the order, how he can prepare. And so then he creates that. He tries to create an environment that we have literature, we're appreciated by the senior members of society. We have books, we have literatures, we have a society, an organization, so that people will take it seriously. Previously, something spoken that was of value was accepted. It didn't matter who you were. Even if you were a very elevated personality, if one of your servants made a good observation, the gentleman would take it. Oh, this is good. Because the spoken word had some value. People had enough character. In an environment where they have less character, then the word is written. Right? And then what's written should be applied. Just like what's spoken should be applied. So Prabhupada then created these things. The idea that the modern environment, they appreciate this. Vedic cult always is established, but they wanted to establish and do it. Create it. It took years, but he did it. This is his determination. So now to have that determination, you must have faith. So Prabhupada had faith in the order. Others didn't. Right? When Srila Prabhupada was coming back from Bombay, with Bhan Maharaj or Sridhar Maharaj to visit Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur after Bhan Maharaj had just come back from Europe. Then Prabhupada was asking, so how's the preaching there? And he says, oh, it's very difficult, you know, they have their ways and this, they don't know all these different things, and they ask questions that you just can't answer, right, because they have no background. So then Sridhar Maharaj would say, to ask Bhan Maharaj, okay, what's the point you can't answer? And so then he put out the question. And then he turned to Prabhupada. So? Then Prabhupada would answer. Then Sridhar Maharaj would turn to Bhan Maharaj again and go, so, what's the next question? Then he'd say the more difficult thing. Then he'd turn to Prabhupada and say, and then Prabhupada would answer. Then again, and again Prabhupada would answer. And after the third answer, then Sridhar Maharaj banged his hand on the table. You know, there's a table in between the seats there. And said, the West has been defeated. Right? So this faith that the order of the Acharya always works, because that is what is beyond. That is what's eternal. We make the mistake that the form has significance other than its ability to manifest the particular qualities of Krishna and that interactiveness and experience gained from Krishna. We think the form stands on itself. So then the problem comes is we think this form will work or that form will work, when no, it's whatever form works to express the quality. So the point is that element of the quality of Krishna, that there's no discussion. But if you go up to a gross materialist and say, do you want to be happy? Is there an argument? Do you want to be happy? In all the situations in your life, do you want to be happy? Yes. So the soul, being eternal, wants to be happy. The soul being made of Satchitananda wants to be happy. Do we have any argument at this point? No. If they're a Buddhist, yes, because they'll say there is no soul. But how many times are you arguing with the Buddhist, realistically? Right? So that's not your problem. So the point is the absolute, the pure philosophy, you can talk to anyone, anywhere, in any situation. It's only when you drop it down to the forms, what will make you happy, that's when there's a difference of opinion. So we'll say, you know, chanting and, you know, dancing and taking prasad, and they'll think, you know, whining, dining, and all these things. It's in the forms that there's differences of opinion. But in the principle, there's only God and the jiva. So, therefore, Prabhupada is successful in every situation with everyone because he is talking pure philosophy, pure Vedanta. So, when we discuss this concept of being very careful about our presentation, means we're talking about the form that we're presenting it through. But if you're talking about the philosophy, then again, we're talking atheism here. Because it's Krishna. And if we think, no, this form does this, that form does that, forms don't do anything. Forms are mediums or conduits for Krishna's qualities to manifest. You understand that, then you find for the situation what medium to use that this person will be impressed and be able to appreciate God. That's time, place, and circumstance. So Prabhupada was expert at this because he had that faith, he had that vision that Krishna is everything. He didn't have a problem. You know, so many times we'd see these, Prabhupada would be on his walks with the devotees and he'd come to a situation, he'd go, what is this? Right? Devotees speculate like anything, right? Two come to mind. The one where there's on the ground a large amount of bird stool. And Prabhupada says, what is this? Devotees are, well, this is bird stool. This means somebody didn't clean it up. You know, they go on and on and on. So the Prabhupada said, no, this means attachment. Right? Because the form is only a way that you can understand something else is there. So the bird is attached to that spot. Therefore, there's so much stool here. Otherwise, why would there be so much stool there? Because the bird's attached. That's the quality of Krishna. So the bird experiences that attachment in a way that it feels comfortable sitting on that branch. So it's experiencing Krishna sitting on the branch. The bird, being illusion, thinks it's the branch. Right? So again, how it goes, he's trying to see that. Another time he's walking, I think, in Boston, something on the down at the docks, and there's all big ships and cranes and, you know, very large, large machinery. Prabhupada said, what is this? You know, devotees go on again, you know, like that. Well, it's a shipyard, and well, it's, you know, this and that, or a way to make money, so many things. No, Prabhupada said, no, it's sex life. Well, he's looking at this, this is sex life? Wow, okay, cool. So Prabhupada says, there's some person who runs this shipyard to make money so he can have sex the way he wants. He doesn't want to have sex in some little small apartment. He wants a big place to have sex in. So therefore he has all this. That's the point, is you see Krishna in everything through the quality that's manifest. So Prabhupada would see like this. So whenever he talked to anyone, what is he discussing? What is their value? Right? Or that example when Prabhupada was talking to, I can't remember his name, but one English race car driver, famous. He was, at that time, he was the top in the world. Graham Hill, yes. Graham Hill. And so he valued cars. Right? He drives them for a living, so he must like them. Right? So that element about the car. And so he started talking about cars. But about the quality in the cars that he's appreciating. It means it's manifest through something. So he started talking about an Austin that Prabhupada himself used to have. I think back in the 40s or something like that, or 50s. And so, you know, it's an English car, and so then they had something in it. It's an old car, so it's something to talk about. But just the qualities. And then he got into, okay, when you're racing and all this, then, you know, do you get afraid? You know? Because when you're going, coming so fast into a corner, you can crash, you can kill yourself. So he asked, do you become afraid? He said, yes. So then probably, so what do? Right? So then Prabhupada started talking about thinking of God, surrendering to God. So through the qualities, you just go beyond the forms to what's of value in the forms. No one has a problem talking about their value in a form. You'll never find in any instant where you won't have something to talk about with somebody if you talk about what's important to them in the forms that are important to them. They have a form, but the form is only a medium. So what is important about that form? You talk about that. It doesn't matter if the form is good or not. Right? We get stuck on this. Oh, you can talk about this, but not that. And this and that. No, you can talk about anything. Because it's the quality in that form that's important. They do something. Why? It makes them happy. Or it makes them excited. So you can talk about excitement and happiness. The form's the medium. The form doesn't matter. We get all caught up. Oh, we can't talk about that form or that, this, that. It doesn't matter. And then from there, because that quality is coming from Krishna, it's Krishna's quality, then you can bring it to Krishna. So the universal aspect of religion, the universal aspect of preaching that Prabhupada and the Acharyas talk about, that's because they are seeing with that universal point of view. The forms are mediums. Forms are important because it's through that form that you get your experience. But the form is always secondary to the quality that it is able to conduct. Always. So Prabhupada, knowing this, he wouldn't bother with the forms other than that that's your starting point. That's your connection. That your senses sense objects, but the experience is why you engage the senses with the sense object. You just engage, I see this, okay, so what? I can see it. I'm sure you can see it, right? Like that. So, what is it, what's that? But it's the experience it generates. So say, okay, we can see this, okay, we all see this. So the senses engage. So what's that? It's shiny, you know, or it's clean. Right? Or it's soft. Right? Or it's been somebody's put in the effort to make it look nice. So those are the qualities we will discuss when talking about this piece of cloth. And so no one has any problem discussing qualities. You can talk with anyone, anywhere on the planet, from any situation, and discuss the quality of something that it's important to them, and they will not have a problem with it. That's why Prabhupada could talk to anyone, in any situation. We try to come up with a talk about the form, or this or that. It's not the form. It's the quality that the form generates. Therefore, the acharya, that's why it's important. We may say, oh, but it's, you know, Prabhupada was, you know, 50 years ago, and his lifestyle, he talked about a kid that was, you know, more than 100 years ago, and, you know, Ramanuja's, you know, 1,000 years ago, Madhva was 700 years ago. I mean, so how can we apply all this stuff? No. It applies to now as relevantly as it did then. And to think otherwise means we're not informed. We don't understand what they're talking about, what they're doing. So the point is that the teachings that Prabhupada gives, the example he gives, his activities that he gives, then we should all see these as significant. And not that, oh, they applied then but not now. No, they apply now as much as then. And they will apply for the next 10,000 years. And basically it's down to this. Who understands they apply will be doing something significant with them. And who doesn't understand that will be swept to the side. And the mission of Lord Chaitanya will march by, leaving us standing to watch. Prabhupada said that. This mission will go on. All these things that he talks about will happen. It's not a matter of, oh, things have changed. No, they will happen. It's just a matter of, do we want to be part of it or not? That's all. The Lord's pastimes are going on. The Lord has entered into everything. It's going on. Do we want to take part? We want to take part, and we take the instruction of the spiritual master as significant, as important, as just as valid now as before. And then we try to see, how can I apply this, the principle of this, into the situation at hand? Then one will be successful. Any questions or comments? Yes?
I was going to ask, you were saying that the form is unimportant, the emotion that it generates is important. So you base your preaching on the emotions and forget about the form.
No, I didn't say forget about the form.
Or it's less important.
Yeah, primary and secondary. Just like, let us say, your toothbrush and your toothpaste. So to get your teeth clean, then it's the action of the toothbrush that does the work. But it's the abrasiveness of the toothpaste that assists that. So, but you need both. So this extremity to say, it's all this and not that, it's all emotion and no form, that's sahaja. And all form and no emotion, that's mayavad. So we have to, you need both.
All right, but my question is there any forms that are just condemnable?
Are there any forms that are just condemnatory?
For example, you could be talking to a butcher.
A butcher, okay, so...
How do you feel when you kill your animals? I mean...
Yeah, so what's, why does he kill the animals? Is, I mean, so what is it? Is it exciting? What is the quality that's there? So what's the real excitement? Is it the killing? That's the actual point. Excitement is there, but excitement's not coming from killing the animal. Excitement is coming because the Lord's potency is there. So it's not the dead matter. So it's actually God. So then you make them God conscious. That's the first step Rupa Goswami talks about. The second step is to make that consciousness favorable to God. Then the third is to see that it's removed from karma and jnana. So that means, therefore, you could talk to a butcher, yes, about his craft. It's that simple.
Well, it would appear to me that the only thing you could say to a butcher is, you know, you should stop this.
The point is, but why should he stop? What's his alternative? You give up a lower taste for a higher taste. Where have you given him a higher taste that he can find excitement in something else? You know what I'm saying? Just to say, you know, you shouldn't do this, in his mind, so what? In the modern society, his job is very significant. You know, billions of people like his work. So how are you going to show them there's some difference? Because what he's looking for in that is God. He doesn't know it. When he understands it's God, then how does God like things? Because we're talking about the quality, but then there's the person who has the quality, and he has an opinion. So God doesn't like that you kill animals. But you have to transfer his consciousness to God consciousness. And then from there, that's what Prabhupada said, you don't have to change the situation, you have to change the consciousness. You change the consciousness, automatically you'll change the situation. Because the more you're Krishna conscious, the more you want an environment that's favorable directly to Krishna consciousness. But everything functions because it's Krishna. You know what I'm saying? We're seeing the form because we're looking at it from, in our lifestyle, yes, that would be not valuable. We're already functioning on a much higher level. So therefore, there's no need to be involved in that. But this individual's not. That is his station. So you have to take him from that and show them that there's something broader, something greater. Then it can move forward. Does that make sense? Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, how often, how many here have been face to face with a butcher talking about his trade, right? So, you know, it's rare. We make these examples because we're trying to, means when we find a exception, then we have the tendency to feel that the exception disproves the rule. But that there are rules and exceptions, that concept is created by God. So contradiction is already created by God. That's how Achintabheda-Bheda Tattva works, is that you have two contradictory elements that don't seem to, wouldn't function together, but they do because the principle is common. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, you can take it and go beyond that. We're not saying he stays as a butcher and we say, yeah, it's a great job. No, it's not a great job. But that's not the discussion. The discussion is not about how great his job it is, it's how much he's God conscious. And as he becomes more God conscious, then he's aware of what God as a person likes and doesn't like. So therefore, he'll find himself another job. Yes.
So you were saying that there is no point in telling him to stop.
That's not means as far as just saying you should stop this, but what significance will you have on his life by just walking in and saying you should stop this?
So Srila Prabhupada would first give his disciples a higher taste, his followers a higher taste.
Yes.
And he would give them prasadam, give them the holy name, give them a sadhana and the association.
Yeah.
But significantly, Prabhupada would still give the four regulative principles, don't
yes.
do this. So why was there a need to say don't when,
because
by experiencing a higher taste, you would assume that there is no more need to say don't do that?
No, but you have to have a standard of an authority. You have to have something to base your perception on, your creation of your environment. But do you understand that there's stage one and step two? Like, let's say, I want to add 2 plus 2 plus 2. So, I'm first going to add 2 and 2. Then I can add the third 2. You know what I'm saying? But if I want to do all 3 at once, I have to use multiplication. You understand? So, the point is if you first bump into the butcher, and a conversation starts, you're just going to come out of the blue and say, these are the four regulative principles? No, Prabhupada didn't talk any of that to anybody. He first got them chanting and interested in God consciousness. Then as they showed actual interest, then he starts talking about that. Otherwise, they'll go away. That's the problem, is we come in and think making the person's vegetarian is the most important thing. No, getting them to chant or take prasad, that's more important, that's eternal. Being vegetarian, birds are vegetarian. You know what I'm saying? That's not the significant thing, but we'll catch the forms and think it's the four rays. No, that's next. That is what keeps you from being distracted. The four regular principles, their significance is not that they are important on their own. They're important because that's the lifestyle Krishna likes to live. You want to associate with God, then better to live his lifestyle. You want to be intimately associated with God, then you'd want to live the lifestyle he lives. So to get to that platform, he's in pure goodness, so therefore you're going to have to get yourself to pure goodness. And that means goodness. Goodness is the form. Pure goodness is the consciousness. So therefore, if I'm living a lifestyle of ignorance, that will be detrimental, or it'll be distracting from a lifestyle in the mode of pure goodness. So you make adjustments in the form. That's what we're saying. Forms are useful in their expression of the particular qualities. So they're necessary. Everything we deal with is form. Right? But it's the quality behind the form that's the actual important element. If not, then we become a smarta. Or a modern liberal. Right? The liberal thinks, I should be doing something. You know, it means this activity is good. But why it's good, it's just their speculation. It has no authority. It's just they feel like it. Right? So therefore, if you give a form from authority, they'll reject it. So if you say, well, the Vedas say this, they'll say, no, it doesn't matter. Because I don't feel it. So that's their weakness. Is they don't understand the importance of that form for generating a particular quality. So they'll reject the form. Or the smarta, he only sees the form and says, you have to follow the form. This is authority. But he doesn't know what's the purpose of the form. So both these, the right and the left, are generated because of material vision. Vaishnavas are in the middle. There is no right and left. There's only Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Nice class. Thank you very much. I thought it was very interesting, thought-provoking, and also very useful in preaching. So thank you very much. Not on the substance, just on a detail in your answer, that I actually know quite a few farmers. We purchase many thousands of liters of milk every week from them back home, or back where I'm from. And actually, I've had this conversation with them quite a lot, and one thing that's consistent is I would say that excitement isn't really the quality that's inspiring them in that work.
No, I just threw that out as a thing.
It's monetary. It's monetary. I had one farmer actually...
But the monetary will be, why do they need money?
Yeah, exactly.
That's why you just keep it going till you get to the quality.
Exactly. It was just a detail. One of the farmers was actually in tears one time in this subject. He felt he was so locked into what he had to do and there was no alternative for him, and he had a personal relationship with his cows, and he knew them all, etc., like that. Anyway, my question is, you were saying that the material energy doesn't change. It's just our interaction, our relationship with it that changes. Mm-hmm. So, again, just in terms of, from a preaching point of view, in terms of using it to whenever we're engaging with non-devotees, they, of course, the scientists in particular, would argue that it does change, at least their ability to control, for want of a better word, material energy would change. And one example or one thought that comes to mind, I think in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, there's a very, very strong emphasis on the reason that the living entity changes its focus, loses its memory from being in the womb, where it's praying to Krishna for mercy and for like that. But then, through the process of childbirth, and it's squeezed through the narrow channel, mm-hmm. we see the elongated head of the baby when they're born, that they lose that memory, and then the memory of being in the womb, and then they get involved in material life again. But of course, scientists would say, I think now in certain countries in the West, something like 60 to 70% of childbirths are done through cesarean section. So that actual experience of squeezing through the narrow channel and losing that memory doesn't take place. So I'm just curious what you would say to that.
Okay. Just on the point of, I'd first like to address the word change, because here then, if we take the word, then again we're falling into the trap that I talked about. We're taking the form. Change is only there as a medium to express a particular thing you're trying to say. Because if you said that now they'll do a cesarean, right? Where does the etymology come from? It was a 2,000-year-old procedure. Yeah, from Caesar. So that's the point, is it's still the same, whether it's 2,000 years ago today or 1,000 years in the future. If the baby is, you know, basically big enough and you cut the mother's stomach, you can take the baby out. That won't change. That'll always be there. So the point is just where they're finding their values. In other words, where do they find their excitement or their security or their necessity? You know, that's what changes. Like before, as economics meant something solid. You had land, you had buildings, you had animals, you had, you know, silverware and gold and, you know, things like this. That was value. Or you had servants, right? It means when the special guest would come to the house, he would be greeted with the family members and the servants, right? But the rest of the time, you'd never see a maid. You saw a maid at the front door in the house, so that was considered bad. So why would they be? Because then you see the opulence. Yes, in our household, we had 10 servants. So then you say, okay, they have quite a big household. So the value, where they look for that value of economics, that shifts around. So that's constantly changing. So when this is not, we're not taking the part where we're taking that the externals are constantly changing. We're talking about the principles on which the material energy functions, that doesn't change. But we have to apply it to the present. Right? So it means the situation is, you're standing in front of a dairy farmer, you have to talk to a dairy farmer. You're not standing in front of a Wall Street businessman. You know, if you, that's a different situation. Does that make sense on the change? Okay. So here then it's a matter of what quality means, you know, that's the point, is that relationship, he has a relationship with God. Relationship's the most important thing. So, because the economics eventually go back to relationship. He's performing economics because he's going to get money. Money then will create the facilities in which the relationships can be experienced. Right? If he, very hard to have family life if there's no house. His wife won't want to talk to him. You know, first get a house, then we'll talk. Right? So when he has a house, now they can talk. You know, there's a place, you know, you can sit down, you know, there's furniture. you know, there's a living area, there's a bedroom, there's a, you know, there's a garage. So all those things can be put into place so you can get those various experiences that they want to gain. You know, being in the kitchen, that's one thing, being in the living room, it's another, bedroom, another, bathroom, another, out in the backyard, another. So the money creates those facilities, and that generates security. So eventually it all goes back to that, that one is feeling secure, but still the weakness is that security is coming, but you think it's the dead matter. But it's not, it's what's beyond that. That quality that's actually generating, because the dead matter doesn't make the security, it's the quality that it generates. Otherwise, if it was, why is it that the person gets something and feels all, you know, nice, warm and happy inside, but then 5 minutes later when someone else has something better, then they lose interest. It no longer is that security for them. It's still the same matter, because now they don't attribute to it, they don't see the qualities in that anymore. They've shifted their qualities as seen over here. That's what changes, is where they perceive the qualities. But not the mechanics itself, because the mechanics itself are the universal form. Universal form is expanded into, created all the forms and expanded into them to make them all alive and functioning. So the universal form's always there, as long as the man, it's, you can say eternal, because it will always be manifest. It means the Lord's there, his qualities, how he's entered into everything here is simply a reflection of the spiritual world. So a cow here acts like a cow there. Just there they're eternal, and here they're temporarily manifest. But the principle of cow is eternal. You know, so what he appreciates about them, it's their cowness. That's God. Because if the cow dies, the cowness is not manifest, though the form is there. So it's the cowness. That's God. Or whatever quality. That's why it's so sophisticated, you could say. And so all these different qualities and perspectives are happening at once. Right? But that's because God's unlimited. Right? It's not because the quantum physicists can't guarantee what it'll be. These are very opposite things, but they blend. It's called a householder. Right? And the sannyasi is that he doesn't know what the facility be, but his program is very, very standard. You know? So that vision, then one can see everywhere. And then, of course, of that vision, the highest is then to be able to see Krishna as a person. But it's not that it doesn't start at this level. When the gopis see a tamal tree, they see black. Black has a quality. And then from that they take it to Krishna as a person. So it's not that they just directly see and run around like, you know, I mean, that's, you know, that works in the, you know, the Ten Commandments or something, you know. And it, you know, it affects the hairdo also, right, you know. But that's not how it works. It's that everything, because the whole world is created by God, every single thing is an impetus to remember him. And so, if one simply turns one's focus on thinking that the forms are what makes me happy, to understanding what are the qualities in those forms that I and my particular conditioned state are, you know, aware of and find important, right there, that's one's ticket to be God conscious at all times. And then you have the direct activities of kirtan and associating with devotees and prasad. Those are obvious. Those are very nice. But much of the time we're dealing with the indirect. And so this gives an opportunity. So Prabhupada, that's what he's showing, is that the direct doesn't change, doesn't matter what age. Dhruva Maharaj is chanting the holy names and he gets the effect of seeing God face to face, because the names and God and his names are non-different. Same today, they work the same. The environment in which you're functioning, that will adjust. The manifestation through which the qualities manifest, that adjusts. Forms adjust, but the qualities looked for are not adjusted. People look for security. They look for happiness. They look for interaction. They look for, yeah, like that. That doesn't change. It's just what they think will create that. You know what I'm saying? somebody before would think having a go-down full of wheat, that's money. Nowadays, I just have to have on a piece of paper that I have a you know, how you say, 10 of those, forget what it is, units in commodities, and now I have money. And technically, it's just on a computer. But it's the same thing. The feeling's the same. What one's looking for is the same, but the medium has changed to, you know, more and more illusory. That's all. The illusion just, it's illusion on illusion on illusion. Well, if you go back in time, people are dealing more with direct illusion. You know, like that. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Yeah. No, it doesn't stress that. What happens after that? After he comes out, then what's the next thing where the real illusion? That's the main thing. So if you don't get him on the first one, we'll get him on the second one. You're not getting away. You know? You know, you could say, well, what if you're left out somewhere in a basket and nobody cares? But, you know, even they picked up Moses and they picked up Karna, and, you know, the door does open and the nun does come out and pick up the basket. You know, somebody picks up the basket, you do get some attention, and so you feel yourself important. So that's the thing with Maya, is she's so good. It doesn't matter. If you get out of this one, she'll get you on the next one. You know, so it's, you know, it's like that. Okay, sorry. Yes.
I wanted to ask one more question. You said that matter is static.
Yeah, matter is dead.
Get into things like for example, my body is matter, but it's not static.
No, but what makes it move? The body itself doesn't move because you remove the soul and it doesn't do a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah, but I'm saying right now it's not static. So
but the point is, why is it not static? That's the shortcoming is we're thinking the body on its own acts. If you don't desire to move, it doesn't move. Because you desire super soul sanctions, another word, tongue twister, super soul sanctions. Right? So then the modes of nature then have its effect on the body. It pushes on the life airs push on the fire pushes on the nerves push on the muscle moves the hand. That's what's going on. But it all started because of your desire. So the point being is that you change your desire, you change how the material energy functions.
All right, but what about real subtle forms of matter? For example, your mind. It seems to me that my mind changes quite a bit.
But it only does two things. It only accepts and rejects. That's all it does. It doesn't do something else. It doesn't do a third thing. See, everything in its basic form is fundamentally very basic. It's that the sophistication on how the Lord operates it. Because he's a very developed person. So for his satisfaction, then the level of relationship and rasa that he wants to taste is very, very developed. So for us to take part in that, there must be common ground. So it must function that same ability of sophistication. So it's not that the mind can't be accepting many variety of things at once or rejecting many things at once or a combination, but it still functions in exactly the same way. What I'm saying is the fundaments on which the soul, the material energy and God work don't change. The particular variety of manifestation, that's constantly changing. From one moment to the next, the matter is changing, but it's not due to our, means we have our desire, but we're not the one making it change. We don't move the hand, material energy moves it. That's why when one's dealing in the philosophical point of causation, we call it the material cause. because the material nature actually does it. We want to do a work, like let's say we want to drive the car, the material energy is actually moving the car. We're not, we're just sitting there. We desire to do it. We, through that, we move the steering, but the material energy moves all that. We don't actually take the tires and turn them and tell them to stick on the road and stuff like that. No, the material energy does it. But because we are a factor in the process, if we see that us, ourselves as a factor, as servant of God, and what's being done for His pleasure, then it's called devotional service. But if we think, I am the cause, I am the reason that this is all happening, therefore we get the reaction for that instead of the reaction going to God. Right? The results for God, that's devotional service. The results for ourselves, then we get it's called karma. So it's simply a change in the consciousness. The forms and its functioning don't change. Does that make sense? Last point. Yes.
Whatever they do, can we understand this by analyzing what opulence of Bhagawan the individual is aspiring to experience of the
yes.
six opulences?
Yes, it means that's what we were saying before. All these things can be done at once. God's six opulences. The element of facility, security, activity, and attachment and results. Because the opulence will be interacted with. So why do you value the opulence? Because God has opulences, but then he's still a person beyond the opulences. So there's still something beyond. But it's a good place to start. Because that's what's obvious to them. So starting there, but then if it's money, but why money? Or it's power, why power? Somebody wants power because they just want to control people because they feel secure that no one's going to bother them. Or someone wants power because then finally their mommy will say that they've done something significant in their life. So they just want that acceptance. You know what I'm saying? But it's the start. It's not that it's necessarily directly theirs. Sometimes they have to go through many stages to get to it. But it's that process that will, one, give you something to think about, and two, give you something to talk about. Does that make sense? So that's what we're saying. Okay. So it ends here. Chaito. Mantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki. Chaitanya Govinda Premanandi.